flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This is something that I've heard for multiple months, that Robert, if he deems this to be a mistake, and I don't know whether it's risen to that level at this point. I don't think it has. But again, this is why the final four games are important. I mean, if they go out losing seven in a row, I know people believe that that's the case, that Robert would not hesitate. In actuality, would he actually pull the plug? I think that's where, and I understand, there are people who have a hard time seeing that. And quite frankly, so do I. But that's why a lot of it depends on how these final four games. I mean, if they get their doors blown off in the final 4 weeks and they've lost seven straight to finish the year, it could get into that territory. I don't think it's close to that right now, but it could get there.
It's Greg Bedard.
Wow.
Hour number two.
What a road.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. You can watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
That was a windy road.
If you see us snickering, it was stronger in print, Bedard, is what I would say.
Holy smokes, that was
stronger in print.
In actuality, would that actually be the case? I don't think so, but some think it could believe to maybe be that way. We'll see if it ends up happening, but it could. Maybe it won't, but there's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Seven-game losing streak, maybe.
And if they get their doors blown off.
Robert Kraft, Rod Mayo, doors blown off. There's nothing in there. I don't know what he's saying.
I just think he's a little...
I don't think he's there yet, but it could be. He's like, yeah, there is four more games to go.
I think he's a little afraid to say Gerard Mayo is going to lose his job, because if he doesn't, you're out there and you've walked the plank. I think he's a little afraid of it. That's all.
So,
Curran's like, no, he's good. Well, Curran had the story a year ago with Belichick and walked it back a little bit. So, you know, maybe there was a little bit of that going on with Bedard. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I want to believe him, but that was...
It was less
strong on his podcast than in print. I'll tell you that right now.
But no kidding, because it just kind of like turned into a little bit of a word salad. But it's like, all right, if they get blown out four straight games, which is possible,
That's in play,
and there's like a lot of coaching questions around it, and it's a seven-game losing streak. It's more losses than last year. Even then, it's a maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and I don't think he will.
It's I don't think so. But somebody,
I don't actually believe it. But someone told me I believe it.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, I think Gerard Mayo will be back next year for all the reasons we've sort of outlined, and his relationship with Kraft and everything else. But I think because there are four games to play, there are a lot of different outcomes, and not just win and loss, right? Like, let's say you lose to the Bills by a field goal or whatever. Like, I don't know, it probably looks pretty good to Gerard Mayo or to Kraft, and you're like, all right, this thing looks like it's going in the right direction.
Curran, we talked to him yesterday. He's going to talk to WEEI Afternoons tomorrow. He was on Quickslants last night saying the Patriots should aspire to be the Carolina Panthers. Which I know what he means. Like, be frisky and competitive in these final games against good competition down the stretch. And the Panthers have done it against good competition. They haven't won, but they've at least been in these games and led some of them late. And
I'm afraid you get a stormy clap.
Thank you. They're not frisky enough. But, you know, aspiring to be the Panthers is just such a sad commentary. I know what he means, but my God, is that a depressing way to look at the Patriots?
It's like the worst team in professional sports. Well, they are. I think they did a thing since their owner took over.
You're giving them a run.
Win percentage of all four major sports over that time. I think the Carolina Panthers are the worst team in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's who you're trying to aspire to be.
So is Gerard Mayo coaching for his job? What should the Patriots aspire to over the final month? We can get into that here on Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We'll do some Would You Rathers coming up about 15 minutes from now. It's also a Celtics Wednesday. Terp is going to join us at 11:45. We'll check in on Well, the status of the Celtics coming off Drew Holiday being left open over the weekend was a weakness exposed for the Celtics. I was watching some NBA Cup.
I'm sure you were.
Along with the Bruins getting spanked last night.
Yeah, they did.
So maybe some questions there. You can jump in on the Bees. 617-779.
That's right, same
7937,
number.
Same phone number as the text line. Marchand isn't captain material, never has
been. Ooh, that's your guy.
That is my guy.
Captain material?
A lot of people felt that way when he was first given the C. There were a lot of people who felt like it should have gone to McAvoy and, you know, Marchand's temperament isn't fitting of a captain. I don't agree, but I'm biased. So what do you think?
I think he was the right call. Like, I just think he's been here long enough. He's the one guy that still has the Stanley Cup experience or Stanley Cup winning experience left over from that team. I think the other two guys or the other options were pretty young. So I would have gone with Marchand. He's not the only dirty player to be a captain. Sidney Crosby's a captain. Dude's just dirty.
Yeah, and I get like the temperament. I don't like the captain coming out and saying, yeah, we've had some crappy practices.
Oh, that's
we had
not
this
ideal.
Coming.
Yeah.
And so like I don't think it's about his temperament or him being a dirty player. I didn't mind any of that. But I don't like any captain coming out and saying, yeah, I could see this coming. Mm-hmm. Oh, you could. Well, why didn't you do something about it? You're
Maybe
the captain.
Stopped it.
People follow you.
I know.
So it's like it's you or the head coach, and the head
just
coach just
didn't have it tonight.
One head coach was just held accountable, so I'm going to look at you, Marshy. Mm-hmm. And like, where was that?
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Mark is in Medford waiting patiently on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. So you asked, who am I mad at?
Yeah.
Well, where do I start? Number one, Brandon Carlo literally is freaking useless. Okay. Number two, that score should have been 8-0 last night. If not for DeMelo deflecting it over Hellebuck's shoulders, that probably would have hit Hellebuck right in the chest because that's what they were doing all night. They were shooting it right in his stomach. And number three, if I was Don Sweeney, right the day Jeremy Swayman asked for whatever he asked for, I would have looked him right in the eye and asked him, based on what?
Okay. Well, so I would answer, I just took you farther than your last goalie did. That goalie got the same contract. That's now the market rate for goaltending. So whatever. What I would ask Mark and others who are pissed about the Swayman contract is a similar question we were asking about the Red Sox, similar question we were asking about the team in general, meaning the Bruins. Who are you actually mad at? Are you mad at Swayman for dragging it out and commanding it? Or are you mad at the Bruins for caving to him? Like, I would think it's that. I would hope it's that second thing.
Yeah, to me, it's the team for kind of dragging it out and then ultimately giving them a pretty good deal.
Because
and then you find out that all the goalies are making that
It was
now.
The worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
You were going to give him the money either way. You dragged it out. He missed the entire offseason, and then you still caved to him.
I don't know how you don't get
you
rid
have,
of Allmark.
You didn't have the stomach to really play it out.
No. Like, get rid of Allmark and then get a deal done within like the next
week
or two. And they dragged the whole thing out.
So, look, the Bruins dragged it out. They didn't want to pay him. They played hardball, this and that, and then they finally caved to him. You should be mad at the team, but Swayman's playing terribly.
Well, that's the thing is you can't let Swayman off the hook.
No.
So you'd be mad at the team for like, you know, missing training camp and
the
all
negotiations.
That
exactly.
But all right, you also, as Swayman and his camp, were like, all right, we got to get every penny we can get, which is his right. But then be ready to play.
Yeah, and he's not.
No.
I mean, that last night was a joke.
That was insane.
And you're right. It was three. Take away. Let's be magnanimous and take away the three power play goals.
You lose 5-1.
It was still.
You still lost 5-1.
Five goals. I like how Mark was like, it's not even bad enough. That's not even. It should have been 8-0.
Should have been worse. Yeah, I guess. And I'm with him on Carlo. Carlo's
snowman,
very underwhelming.
A snowman to a goose egg.
Yep.
No, Carlo stinks. Hang on. I was looking up. I wanted to look up how many like of these monster games has Swayman had this year when it comes to...
goals allowed, you mean?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
there's
yes,
been
yes,
some
yes,
big...
Seven!
There's been some crooked numbers.
Okay, I want to read them again. I'm pulling
Scott
up
Scott McLaughlin from WEEI.com.
It was a career worst. I know that, right?
He cited MoneyPuck.com, which I don't even know what that is.
Oh,
NHL Hockey Analytics?
My favorite part of the game is the Money Puck.
The Money Puck.
You stick around for the Money Puck.
After last night, Jeremy Swayman now ranks dead last in the NHL in goals saved above expected.
Nice.
Minus 11.6 this season. That's according to MoneyPuck.com.
Okay,
so it's just another metric to say how bad he's been.
He has given up 5-plus goals.
Yeah, four times.
That's a massive amount of time. Four times,
yeah,
you're right.
Good
he
guess,
gave
Mike.
Up
the kid.
Six against Carey. He was well on his way to giving up that against Montreal.
Well, you remember one
in the
of
opener,
them we pointed to because when Montgomery was still here, he just like let him wear it.
Yep.
And you're like, all right, is he going to pull him? No,
nope. That was the Dallas game.
Yep.
So it was six against Carolina. They pulled him in that. He played half the game. He gave up six goals.
Yikes.
Dallas, he gave up seven. He came back in his next outing and gave up 5 against Columbus, who stinks, by the way. And then the 8 last night against Winnipeg.
An 8-pack.
Yeah. So, you blame Swayman for playing poorly, yeah. But giving him the contract, caving to him on the contract, not being around in the offseason, I blame the team on that one.
It's like, is this going to end up derailing the entire season? I mean, you already got a coach fired after however many games, 20 games, and now you're like, all right, is this team going to make the playoffs? Because the big question around this team over the last several years is, are they going to advance in the playoffs, or are they going to get upset again, and are they going to let everybody down? Now you're like, all right, are they going to make the playoffs?
Yeah. Well,
now they're a playoff team.
And going into last night, you were kind of like, all right, Swayman's turned it around a little bit under Sacco, you're right back to where you were.
I know.
One more text here, 617-779-7937. I like to encourage and answer these from time to time. You're in your fantasy football playoffs.
Yeah. Well, Keith. I'm not.
Well, I'm not either. I'm saying you out there if you're still playing.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not.
I got blown out the final week of the year. Josh Allen and Puka Nacua didn't.
That's a tough combo.
Trust Smith and Jigba or Garrett Wilson this weekend?
Probably Smith and Jigba.
That's the way I would lean. Yeah. I would lean into that.
Well, do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a second big game in a row?
The Jets play the Jaguars. And so on the one hand, you go, it's an easier matchup.
Well, the Titans didn't score any points against the Jaguars.
Well, right. And JSN plays Green Bay. But that could be a potential shootout, Seahawks and Green Bay.
Yep.
So more total points there. JSN's been better. Mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson's got to deal with Devontae Adams.
You'd think
Smith and Jigba's going to deal with DK Metcalf. Not really.
Nope.
And I'd be worried. The Jets get up on the Jags and just run all over them, and they stop throwing. That's what I'd be worried about personally.
The Jets, though, they're a mess.
Send in your fantasy football questions, though, on the text line. Keith and I can live vicariously through your fantasy football
That's
run.
That's fun.
All right, final month. Patriots will not be going to the playoffs either, Keith.
No, they were eliminated.
Gerard Mayo might be coaching for his job.
Maybe not.
What are the goals of the final month? Is it really what Curran said, to be the Panthers?
No, I don't think it's to be the Panthers. I think it's just not to be a joke. Not every Monday talk about just coaching blunders, 1,000 penalties, questionable decisions, and another lopsided loss. I don't think, I don't think he has to go 2-2. That'd be great, but I don't think he has to do that. I just think, is it trending in the right direction? Because two comparisons that get brought up a lot to Gerard Mayo, and I think he would like to make them, but the reality is there's a chance that they could be very different. One being Bill Belichick's first year with the Patriots. Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time, only won 5 games. Do you know that they finished 3-3 in their final 6?
Mm.
Dan Campbell, he's another guy, former player. He's not a coordinator and all this stuff. The Lions were horrible. How did the Lions do? 3-3 in their final 6. So it was really bad early, but they actually showed improvement, which is usually what you're looking for in rookies and just young players. Same thing can be applied to young coaches. So how do you spin it if you're Gerard Mayo in the offseason and be like, all right, it's your first year. Your best game might have been your first game.
It was. I mean, as of right now, it was. Yeah.
So you beat Cincinnati.
Maybe the Bears game is neck and neck with it, but I would take Cincinnati over
that.
That
was in the middle of the season. Yeah. And then you lost 7 in a row? Like, I think that is going to be tougher to spin. So you have 2 with Buffalo. You have an Arizona game, and then you have the Charger game. So you're going to be underdogs in all of them. So, yeah, a win or 2 would be nice, obviously, but it's what does it look like? Each game we've come back, and there's been different versions of it where you're like, oh, my God, like that game against the Niners or the first Jets game, whole lot different than maybe the Rams game, yep. Right? Which you lost all of them, but you felt a little bit better about one than you did the other.
Yeah, be competitive.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to say you want to do what Bryce Young is doing, which is giving his team the lead, getting back into games, but still losing, because I want Drake May to win some games. And I don't want to let the quarterback, similar to what I said about Joe Burrow the other day, I don't want to let the quarterback of the team off the hook for wins and losses. Like, you impact that. Even if you're making plays, you could make more plays. And, I don't want to say the wins are insignificant and I'm happy with losing a game late, but be competitive in some of these games and go down to the wire in some of these games. And I know they just did that against Indy, but I need more of that. And I need that against better competition. And I think you're going to be facing some better competition down the stretch, although Arizona looks more beatable than I would have expected.
6-point dogs.
Yeah, someone called this a get-right spot for the Cardinals. They've lost 3 in a row.
They're a game below
500. Yep, it's a get-right spot, which maybe is a dangerous spot for the Patriots. But it looks more winnable than I would have thought. Certainly a couple of weeks ago. So there is something to that. I also I can't say this enough. It's not just on the field. It's what does Jerod Mayo say and do in the final month? Does it feel like they're scheming anything up on the field? The one nice thing about that Bears game is you felt like they had a plan and a scheme.
Right.
The Longhorn package, you're like, wow, that they clearly worked on that during the week.
Longhorn package.
I was even encouraged by some of the Marcus Jones stuff we started seeing weeks ago, which has gone by the wayside. And I know he wasn't at practice the other day, so maybe that's out of the realm of reality anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you schemed something up during the week. You clearly saw something. You implemented it into the game. Good. That's coaching. I want to see more of that. Are fans showing up when we get back to home games?
Yeah.
How are they acting?
Last
are they,
two games are home.
Are they boycotting? Are they wearing bags over their heads? Are they flying planes over the stadium like they are with the Giants? Like, all of those optics matter and matter a lot. If you're non-competitive and if you're losing, I need to see that sort of stuff trending in the right direction, or else I do think Mayo's in trouble.
Do you think if they win on Sunday, he's safe? Like, regardless of what, because it's two games with the Bills and then one with another team that's probably a playoff team. So if they just win, however it happens.
So they'd still, if they win
four
that,
wins total.
Right, but they could still lose their final three games of the year. I'd say he's probably in pretty good shape if
I
they
think
win.
So.
Yeah.
Because it's also not as jarring.
I don't think it's a lock, but I would say it's close.
A seven-game losing streak to end the season combined with fewer wins than the year before is a pretty tough combo. And that is, you know, if Robert Kraft's really talking to Jerod Mayo after every single game and asking him about what's happening, like, seven straight games of that, because you already withstood, what, a six-game losing streak earlier in the year? And we're like, man, this is getting pretty ugly. And then you snap that. You had a stretch of games in a month where you're like, all right, 2-2 with an overtime loss, like, maybe things are looking up, but unfortunately it's gone back down the other way. But is this one the most winnable? Probably. You know, outside of Josh Allen not playing the last week, if they do that.
Well, right. And taking it straight up, this is easily the most winnable game. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, how do they look? And if, like, Kyler Murray, for example, is running all around him. It's like, all right, so you took a mobile quarterback and you didn't take that away from him. You know, like that's the other thing to look for is does Kyler Murray become the latest in a long line of quarterbacks that have their best game of the season against the Patriots? Like, half the guys they've faced so far this year have just lit him up.
It's true. I would also want to see this out of Drake May. Is the turnovers getting cleaned up a little bit? Tucked in to the Jerod Mayo interview on a Mayo Monday with the Greg Hill Show. And we spent some time on, he wouldn't commit one way or the other to being back, or that he hasn't been told that he's coming back by the Krafts.
Mm-hmm.
So we got locked onto that. Earlier in the interview, Jerod Mayo was asked, what's the biggest problem with the team? And without hesitation, it was like one of the fastest answers he's given all year. There was no hemming and
hawing. Really, he was ready for that one.
He said turnovers right away. And I do think he meant, in fairness to him, I think he meant the turnover differential. He was including the defense.
Yeah, he
there.
Wanted them to get turnovers.
They got to turn other teams over as well. This wasn't just about Drake May. But you do want to clean up the turnovers down the stretch. He threw a pick against Indy. I would not put that on him in the least. Hunter Henry
technically did,
handed it to the defender. Mm-hmm. So let's see that turn around in the final month. There's four more games.
Yeah.
He's pretty much good for an interception a game. How about one every other game? Something that shows some progress and an arrow pointing up at the end of the year. That's another thing I would look at with Drake May. I'm largely satisfied with what I've seen. Orlovsky, we don't need to play it, but Orlovsky was, again, doing his predictable thing.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, he's a jaw-dropping talent, and he's the best that's been out there, and who could have seen this coming?
He's done too much. Like, you were wrong. You were wrong about him.
He's doing way too much, but I do think there's some element of that, because most of the boxes with May to me, outside of wins and turnovers, are checked.
But also,
so let's start checking some of those boxes, and I'd feel pretty good.
Does Jerod Mayo start to have a change in his overall philosophy? Because he has been such a scaredy cat coach.
Well, that's a good one, too.
Like, is he feeling the heat? But is that not who he is? And then, like, how does he rectify that?
Because what would you rather see? Would you rather see him be more aggressive?
Change.
What we've seen through the first 12 or 13 games is what you really are, change it up.
And if it's a close game, that's where we really get. So hopefully, and the nature of the NFL is one or two of these games probably will be close. And the way the season has gone, they'll probably lose those games, right? They're 2-5 in one score games. But do we see them have a chance to, like, at midfield, go for field position or actually go for it on fourth down? Or, depending on the score of the game, do they go for two or do they not? Like, are they trying to force overtime in Arizona, or they're like, we can win it right now, like against Tennessee?
Right.
Does he change his tune from there, or is he dug in? Because now he's been asked about it so many weeks. Even Shime, you see on Monday, Shime asked him. He's like, you guys aren't aggressive at all.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, we think we're doing what's best for the team. It's like, well,
he was like, I know who Shime is.
Yeah.
And Shime was like, I appreciate you.
But he torched him.
I was like,
where's this going?
I felt like that was a lie on the spot from Jerod Mayo.
He said he knew Shime.
He did say that. I know it's what he said. Oh. Says a lot of stuff.
And then Shime's like, that's great, Jerod.
I will say is I know Shime.
You guys seem to be like tucked under your covers when you're calling plays. What's up with that? On offense, what's happening?
Another text here, 617-779-7937. Yes, that is a new text line for about a week plus. Texters sending that in. You guys are far too easy to impress. I don't think.
With who?
With the Patriots down the stretch. We're like, just be competitive.
It's a low
Win
bar.
A game. Like, don't turn it over every
Super
game.
Super Bowl or bust.
Okay, it is a low bar.
They
but
need to win out.
That also is progress. We're just looking for a little bit of progress in the final month. Really not that much. That is easy to impress. But do you think they're going to do it? Any of these things we just said, are they going to win a game?
No.
Okay. Are they going to all of a sudden be competitive in a bunch of these games?
Well, it's the NFL. Maybe in one of them.
Maybe in one of them.
I think they'll be close. They'll
so
be
they're not
going to
win any, maybe in one of them.
That's right.
Are they going to stop turning it over?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is Mayo going to be aggressive all of a sudden?
No.
So, like, those are the things that would make us happy. We're not predicting any of those things to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to be happy. And if we're not happy with any of that, then yeah, I think Mayo's coaching for his job down the stretch. Yes. 617-779-7937. A lot of ground covered here today on Jones and Keefe. We talk Red Sox and free agency. They're doing nothing. They might be circling back to Nick Pivetta because they're running out of names.
Nick Pivetta.
Jerod Mayo, coaching for his job. Bruins getting spanked. We'll actually talk about a championship-caliber team coming up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Later on in the hour. Terp's going to join us for a nice look at the Celtics, as he does every Celtics Wednesday here at 11:45. And it's also Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got a Celtics Minute with Terp coming up about 20 minutes from now. Take a look at the C's. NBA Cup going on without the Celtics. I was watching Dame Lillard go off at the end of the Magic game last night.
Oh, yeah, good cup action.
Yep.
Hashtag nice, for the cup.
Nice, strong cup action last night.
Bucks got something to play for this year.
Thunder were able to beat the Mavs. Those weren't even the best games last
night.
No,
what were the best games?
Well, I think you're going to get better games tonight is what I mean.
Oh, got it.
Yes. Well, you get the Knicks tonight. You get the Rockets and the Warriors tonight.
Well, we're going to be recovering from our escape rooms. It'll be icing up, probably.
It's a good point.
Maybe stitches. I don't know. I don't know how aggressive this thing's going to get.
Hyperextended knees and bloody noses is what we were hearing.
Something
about
to look forward to.
So we'll talk NBA Cup maybe, but definitely Celtics with Terp coming up in a little bit on Celtics Wednesday here on WEEI. It's also a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. What do we have for some Would You Rathers today, Billy?
First one up today is Would You Rather Win the NBA In-Season Tournament or Get a Franchise Record Regular Season Wins?
Let me start with this one.
Yeah, you go first. Because obviously the Celtics can't win the cup
as
this year.
As I like the NBA Cup and would like the NBA Cup.
Oh, this is surprising.
You want the regular season win total.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially for an organization like the Celtics. If you're the Thunder, I'd be like, maybe they want the NBA Cup. Would I really care about the Thunder's franchise wins record?
Some of these teams is like 55 games.
Right. The Celtics, that would be meaningful.
That'd be pretty amazing.
And that's a real goal to chase all year long and something where, all right, we're better than most teams.
Yeah.
We can roll the basketballs out there most nights and beat everybody. That's a tangible goal to go get. As much as I like the NBA Cup and stand up for and defend
you
the
do.
NBA Cup.
You are the voice of the NBA Cup.
I do want the wins record over that.
Yeah, so do I. Because I think both, because everybody always points to like, oh, you want to win the real title. It's like, yeah, obviously. But like, these are a couple of things along the way that you could both win. Like, you could have all of it. You could win the NBA Cup. You could win the, you have the wins record, and you could win the,
you could get all
of it. That's sort of like the triple crown for wins. But no, for me, especially here, and you know, at the very beginning of the year, there was sort of the outside thought of like, okay, they go for like the overall record, which is 73-74 wins, right?
Yeah, that one's done.
That's not happening. That's such an insane season. But then you're like, all right, even if you win 68 games, like what a kind of a record that. And then you start comparing to previous Celtics teams and things like that. That is where you can sort of break some ties. So, yeah, I'd rather have that. That's still in play. If they go on like a little bit of a heater, they could still win that. So, yeah, to me, really anything greater than the NBA Cup. I think last week I said I'd take $5 over the NBA Cup.
You did say that. Was that? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Was that another Would You Rather?
That might have been last week.
That was another Would You Rather. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, no, I don't think there's any jeopardy with 73 or 74 wins or like a perfect season in the NFL.
Yep.
There is the debate of, well, is that too much pressure on a team, and is that something that's going to hang over your head? I don't think a franchise wins record does that either.
No, most people probably wouldn't even know.
Yeah, I don't really think there's any downside to it other than to keep yourself motivated to stay on task night in and night out. I would rather the wins record, as much as it pains me to say it.
Would you rather win the Heisman or be the number one pick in the draft?
Heisman. Number one pick in the draft's great. Also puts a ton of pressure on you, and you better be really, really good. Heisman, to be the best college player for that year, and then you're a part of that group now. You can be in the silly commercials with
everybody.
I was
just going to say, you live in the Heisman house.
You live in the Heisman house.
You got all the voting.
You got a vote
every single year.
You got a sick trophy. Maybe the sickest trophy going.
Yeah, but you can't take away being the number one pick.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're Reggie Bush, you can take the trophy away and then get it back.
I was going to say, you did get it back, though, right?
You get it back.
Yeah. Apparently, they can't take away your Heisman anymore either.
Appeal like 15 times.
He got it back. But the number one pick, like, you could be a bust. Okay. I'm not trying to put, you know, you got to be confident in yourself, but you could be a bust and you could look back on it. And I know there's one of each year, but to be the best college player, I think is sweeter. That's a cooler thing to look at.
I would also make a case.
Or you'd be both, like James Winston.
Well, okay, but you could be a bust and a Heisman pick that does have a Heisman winner. That, like, Johnny Football is an example.
But you weren't a college bust.
No,
like,
no.
You were an insane college player.
But even if you wanted to look at it financially, is my point. You want to look at it purely from a money standpoint.
Yeah, and I do.
What do I get from the Heisman?
Yeah.
Versus what do I get from an NFL contract being the number one overall pick? If you're a bust, there's a chance you make more over your life as a Heisman winner, where you're showing up to all these various events and you're marketable for life as a Heisman winner,
yeah,
versus the number one pick, if you flame out and you're a bust, you're not marketable at all. You're just a bust.
No, I know.
And so you have that money for your life, you're and right. great. But you might make more money over the long haul as a Danny Werfel type than a guy who is the number one overall pick and out of the league 4 years later.
Especially in, like, the Southeast, if you're a Heisman winner, like, they don't even care if you go to the pros. Like, right. All they care about is college football or high school football even. So, yeah, I think it's cooler. So, yeah, say you're a bad NFL player either way, right? I think to look back and say you were the Heisman, and then you're de facto one of the greatest college football players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're the number one pick, you are obviously a very good college player, but I don't know. You look at some of the, like, the linemen that were taken, or even some of the quarterbacks. Like, yeah, they were very good, but it was more like projecting how good they were going to be in the pros versus just how dominant they were in college.
Yeah. Plus, again, you get to live in that Heisman house.
Get the Heisman house.
Barry Sanders is watching the game on the VR headset.
Yes,
like, that looks like a good time.
That's really cool.
Who knows what other hijinks are going? It's basically like going back to college.
A lot of tomfoolery.
It's a good time, I would imagine.
Yep.
So,
where would you put the trophy if you had the Heisman? Where would you put it?
Good question.
I probably have to buy something.
Nightstand?
But, like, right when you walk in the door.
Oh, you'd...
Like, you wouldn't be like, where's your Heisman? You'd walk in, you'd, like, trip over it.
Conversation piece is what you're saying.
Oh, it's right in the center
of
the house.
Right in the middle of the house.
Yeah. My wife would be like, can we move that? I'm like, no, we cannot.
Back of the toilet.
You put it on your front door, like when people build, like, fish tanks into the wall.
Yeah.
You gotta build a trophy case on your front door.
It's just in there. Yeah.
Display
so the UPS guy is like, oh, Heisman winner.
Display it in the window.
Yeah, you just see it.
Like the leg lamp in Christmas Story. Just like the whole neighborhood can see it. And there's Keith Heisman.
I'd probably bring it up every conversation I was in.
Like,
the year I won the Heisman was, you're like, wait, what? Like, it was a leap year.
This has happened 4 years before I won the Heisman.
Everything is in relation to when you won
the
Heisman.
What do you call, like, the little tag at the bottom of your email? Like, your little, like, info at the bottom? Yeah, your signature is just a
Heisman winner.
Adam Heisman winner Jones, something like that.
And I have an image of the Heisman. Like, underneath it?
Heisman emoji.
Heisman
all your texts.
Heisman 2024.
Yeah, you didn't sign anything. Yeah. Just Heisman emoji.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Okay, so we agree on both so far. That's rare. What else we got?
Would you rather make a gingerbread house or string lights around the house?
Oh, wait. The Jones family.
Both can be messy.
The Jones family minus Jones made a gingerbread house last night.
Oh, you did?
Meaning Cat and Lucas. Did a gingerbread house last night.
I love the idea of a gingerbread house.
Yeah.
But then it's like, do you eat it or do you? No,
I feel like you would eat it before you made it.
What you got. You can eat the ingredients as you're making it, but once that thing's all lopped together, you're not eating anything.
It's stale, and then it's like a brick.
Yeah. Right, you'll crack a tooth. Yeah.
It's like really strong and sturdy. I'm not good in the kitchen, but I'm also stringing lights around, like...
Nightmare.
If I have to use a ladder, I'm not doing that.
No,
stringing lights around the house...
The question was around your house. Around the tree, I'd probably rather that than the gingerbread. But around the house, hell no, I don't want to do that.
Then I
got to take them down.
Just last week, my wife's friend's husband, if you can follow me there.
Wife's
friend's husband.
Husband.
Was stringing lights.
Not your friend.
I don't know this man. Okay. I don't know this man.
I was just saying, he made it very clear.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't know. I could have just said
a buddy of mine. It didn't go there.
I don't even think I know this guy. So he was up stringing lights on, like, the roof of their house. And in, like, the middle of, like, it was, like, kind of wet and, like, kind of icy. Slipped off the house and fell down, like, one whole story.
Oh, my.
Caught it on the Ring cam. So I saw it happen. the wife comes running out. She's like,
America, yeah. America.
He like somehow landed on his feet and like didn't cause a whole scene. Like a neighbor came wandering over and was like, are you all right?
Shattered ankles?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Wow.
Like shocking, like fell from a story. And I'm like, what? So you have a wreath on your house?
Ground us off from the rain.
Well, I was just going to say, you know what he needs around his house?
What's that?
Wood chips.
Would have saved him. Like, good thing I landed this pile of wood chips.
Lined the yard with wood chips.
Knocked the wind out of me, broke a rib, shattered ankle. So, yeah, I don't like, I'm not a big heights guy. I'm not messing around with that.
If it's just like a personal problem, though. Why are you up on the roof when it's icy?
He's a moron. That's why I don't know this guy.
Right.
He hates his family and wants to be outside.
So, like, but someone who would answer
the light. Quiet out here.
What about Andy Hart? Like, he's like big on the Christmas decorating. Yeah. So he would rather string up lights than do like a gingerbread house, right?
I don't know if I could confidently make a gingerbread house.
I'm better off Hart. You could definitely make a bad one. I heard him mention this the other day. I don't think he would also get it on the ladder.
Andy's scared of heights. That's why.
Did you hear what happened to his 15-foot high abominable snow monster?
No, but did somebody screw with it?
I told the wind.
Oh.
It got all tore up. Guy had it for like two nights.
So he shouldn't have bought it.
Those aren't cheap.
He needs some sort of refund, hopefully. But like, if it's just, hey, can you string some lights around like this small tree or like
Fine.
A bush outside? Yeah, it's no problem.
Done.
You should see me out there this
I'm
year.
I'm up on a ladder stringing up lights that I need to eventually get a ladder to take them back down.
You should have seen how just many extension cords
no,
I had.
Thank you. Just leave them there. How many?
Extension cords plugged into extension cords, plugged into things. Like, I'm like a maniac out there. Probably not the best way to do it. At some point, the whole house, the power's just going to shoot down like in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, you don't want that.
But I got all that stuff going on. Yeah, one year, I did try leaving the lights up, like around one of the trees. I just left them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe my wife wants anything.
And she
was like, it was like March. She's like, why are those still on?
Yeah, and
I'm like, I'm not turning them on.
And it's always at a super convenient time when they're like, it's not like, hey, could you do it when I have a lot of time on a weekend? It's like, oh,
take these down.
By the way, those have been up too long. You could have mentioned that anytime in the last couple of months.
I'm like, it's a pain in the you know what to get them up there.
We're just putting them up next December.
I think one of my neighbors does it, and because like he has them on, boom, and it's like all strung around like his house.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I didn't see him stringing those up. Just leave them up year round. What's the harm?
Yeah.
Yeah, there on the Twitch chat, there's Hart's giant abominable snow monster, which is amazing. He said it got like four different parts, had like rips in it.
How many Andy Hart's is that again, Keith?
At least three Andy Hart's.
It's three and a half.
Andy Hart's.
Like it's sewed up in the abominable snowman.
Yeah, yeah. We should measure. We measure money in PS5s. We should measure height in Andy Hart's.
How many Andy Hart's is that?
How many Andy Hart's is that?
Victor Wembanyama, two Andy Hart's.
What's our final? So we agree on gingerbread house as well. What's our final?
Go for the clean sweep.
Yeah.
Would you rather listen to Christmas music or watch Christmas movies?
Movies, because you can control it. If you put on like a Christmas music mix that somebody else has made or it's like whatever, there's a lot that you end up skipping. There's a lot you're like, I don't like this one. I don't really
like
this
one. A lot of repeats.
Here's the thing.
A lot of same song, different version. Whereas movie.
That's true.
You can rip like 10 different Christmas movies like start to finish.
Okay, but how many legit, not to spoil tears for next week.
Yeah.
How many legitimately good Christmas movies do you want to watch?
12.
So that's what I'm saying. There's not that many.
I know, but song. But at least that's like an hour and a half of your time.
Yep.
Like songs, these 3-minute heaters. Like I like probably more than 12, but like,
right,
I don't
in
know.
In terms of total time.
And some of them you're like, I've heard this one again. And like my daughter,
I know,
God bless
some
her.
Some of the movies I've seen 8 billion times. Like I don't really need to watch it again.
Looking at it real quick, my Christmas music playlist has 7 versions of Frosty.
It's too many. Speaking of Frosty.
Yeah.
My daughter, we listened to Frosty literally the entire way to drop her off at daycare.
Listen to it.
The song.
Oh, just the song.
The song.
Not like the whole soundtrack from the movie.
And then I'm like, we're trying to do something else. She's like, nope. She's like, Frosty. Frosty. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I think we've heard it.
8 jingle bells. 8 versions of jingle bells.
Too many jingle bells. Too many.
So how many? So you should measure car trips in Frosty listings.
Oh yeah, it's probably 4 Frosties to get to daycare. At least 4 Frosties, yeah.
All right, good. So we'll measure time with Frosty. We measure money with PS5s or hams.
Hams, PS5s.
And height with Andy Hart.
Hearts. Yep. Pretty good. It's like our metric system.
Yeah. We're going to need a weight suggestion. We'll discuss that off the air.
Stone.
So that's Would You Rather every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, which is also a Celtics Wednesday. We'll get the Terp.
All right,
going on with the C's next.
Porzingis had it for a moment. That's it. The Memphis Grizzlies come into the Garden and take down the reigning champs. It's their first win in this building in more than a decade.
Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. Which means it's time for our Celtics Minute with Terp every Wednesday. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. You got questions for Terp? It's a good time to get in with some good Celtics questions.
Yeah, please.
If you want to dial it up. Terp, you excited for the big show outing after the program?
I can't wait. I didn't know it was going to be a bunch of puzzles and
stretch.
I didn't really know what to expect. Yeah. I haven't stretched yet. I got to get on that.
Get so loose. The Celtics, fortunately, are not in the NBA Cup because if they were, you might have been.
Oh, you would have been on the sidelines.
You might have had split responsibilities.
They wouldn't maybe not tonight. Even,
yeah, well, maybe could have been.
They wouldn't play in the Knicks tonight.
Yeah,
had they made it. So look at that.
There you go. It all. You know what? It all worked out.
It sure did.
Let's go back to the weekend for the Celtics. Bucks win was pretty entertaining. Then you get the Grizzlies loss where Jrue Holiday is left all alone to shoot 17 threes. He made four of them. Is that an approach that'll be effective against the Celtics going forward? Should other teams copy it? What did you think of Memphis's approach the other night?
Yeah, it was interesting, and it's something I'm certainly going to keep an eye on to see if other teams do it. The problem is it's just so hard with this team because they're just such great three-point shooters, and the NBA tracks this kind of stuff. So on Saturday with Jrue Holiday, 14 of his 17 three-point attempts were considered wide open, which means the closest defender is 6 feet away. If you're looking down the list of Celtics on those wide-open attempts, Tatum shoots 54%, Sam Hauser 42%, Al Horford 41%, Peyton Pritchard 40%. They're all above league average or at league average. So some nights it's going to work. And
even Holiday is league average on the wide open
ones? He's 34%. Even after that wow. stinker. But he was last year the best corner three-point shooter in the league, shot right around a career high, I believe, from percentage standpoint. Yeah. So some days it's going to work and other days it's not. But the way I'm kind of looking at it with this team is it sustainable over a seven-game series? Is it going to work 4 games out of 7? I just don't think so because of how well they shoot the ball.
Yeah, because we saw the Warriors try it with Jaylen Brown,
right?
And they're like, you go ahead and take him. And he's like making them all. I'm like, oh, all right, well, this.
And then they had to adjust real quick, and it was too late.
Yeah, that didn't work. But I
feel like it's worth a shot, but yeah, I do think they're all too good, like, overall.
But
that was a bad night for him, but I think Holiday, for his career, is 37%.
Why does it matter what everybody else shoots if you're staying on everybody else and leaving Holiday open? Then it only matters what Holiday shoots, right?
Well, the thing is with the Celtics offense is it's literally designed to just create open shots. So in their all the players' heads as they're driving in the rim, whatever it is, there's a million reads going on. They work on this in practice all the time, is making the right reads. And all it is just trying to find the open shot. So if you're giving the Celtics an open shot, they're going to take it. That's how their offense, that's what makes Mazzulla Ball so hard to defend, is because they all space the floor so well and they're great three-point shooters. So it kind of played into it in a way, but obviously the shots weren't falling that night.
Yeah, like if you have Rondo or Ben Simmons, like obviously that makes sense. You segue off them. They're like, what do we do now? Are you playing against a man zone? Like, what is this? But with these guys, I think more often than not, they'll probably outshoot it. My question's more about just Jrue Holiday in general. Like, not just that game where, you know, he wasn't hitting his threes, but he's the one guy. When me and Jones were talking about the team this year versus last year, and I'm like, I think they're better this year. Part of it is Peyton Pritchard's sort of emergence. But Jrue Holiday, and part of it's his age, clearly is on the other side of his career. How do you think he's been overall? I know he's a guy that might be saving some of it for the postseason. He was in the Olympics, played a lot of basketball, but he might be the one guy that's actually not better than he was a year ago. What do you make of his season so far?
Yeah, I'm with you. He's definitely the one guy that hasn't really taken a step forward. I think for the most part across the board, everyone's kind of improved a little bit. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown averaging career highs in assists. Derek White shooting a career high in percentage-wise, also averaging career high points. Al Horford from three. Peyton Pritchard, obviously, he should be in the conversation for most improved. Mm-hmm. And then there's Jrue Holiday, who really hasn't really taken that step. And part of that, I think, is because he's 36 years old, just played in the Olympics, obviously played over the Celtics played 101 games last year. Like, that's a lot. And then they have a shortened offseason. So part of it, I think it is kind of ramping him up. And it took him a little while last year, too, to find his footing offensively. Remember, it wasn't until that West Coast trip at the end of December where he really started finding his place within the offense. And I think he's going to get there eventually. And it's obviously hard when you're not hitting your shots. And I think that could be part of tired legs. And maybe the Celtics are kind of looking at that because last week, usually a player only sits one game after when they're kind of resting. He sat two. He sat the Miami and the Detroit game. So I think it is something they're watching. But in the end, you can't really be worried about Jrue Holiday because you know how good he is, especially in those clutch situations. Look at the Milwaukee game on Friday. I mean, he hit the go-ahead floater on the three that Al Horford missed on the Giannis transition three, which was his absolutely terrible shot.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday's the one that got the rebound and found Al, and that gave him a lead. So he's going to make those plays when you need him. So
it's amazing Giannis still takes those shots.
That was crazy. Horrible.
It's so dumb. And, like, he's so good when he wants to be, and he can get to the hoop anytime he wants. But there's something in his head. He's like, I can make these threes. It's like, you can't. You have a career of proof that you cannot hit those.
And maybe you saw Al Horford and kind of steered away. Yeah, because the Giannis stop for Al Horford still at the ripe age of 38.
He's got him.
So mixed in with the loss against the Grizzlies was Marcus Smart's return. He did not play well in the game, but the Grizzlies won that game. What was that that whole experience like?
It was brief, really, like the kind of Marcus Smart reunion. It was really only when he checked in, they got the standing ovation. That was pretty cool. I just think the shine's kind of off. He was obviously one of the most polarizing players in recent memory in Boston sports. Like, you either loved him or you hated him. There was really no in between. But I think with Kristaps being so well-liked and them winning a championship, it's kind of like whatever now. People have kind of moved on a little bit. He'll always be loved. He'll always have a special place, but nobody's really complaining about that.
Do the
anymore.
Players seem to, like, I know they said nice things.
Jalen was really hyping him up.
I watched a whole interview Abby Chin did where he's still like, they were given a lot when they came in, meeting Tatum and Brown, where he still sounds like a little jealous about how much they were given early on in his career. Like, have the players moved on? Do they still seem like they miss Marcus at all, or are they just like, oh, we're in a way better spot?
I think they still really, like, they love him. I mean, they still have that close friendship, but I don't think it's necessarily they miss him on the court because they've just been so much better. Like, they love playing with Kristaps, and obviously Drew was the de facto Marcus replacement, so it's hard because they've been so much better, but they'll always love and respect him. And even Marcus admitted it at shoot-around before the game. He's like, it was a great business move. I probably would have done it myself. So if he's saying that, it says a lot. Like, it was just a no-brainer, and we see that every day.
What kind of chances do you give Memphis being in the finals? Because I feel like we never talk about them, but Ja Morant's having an awesome year. They got a good record in the West.
They've been hot.
Seems pretty wide open in the West. Could we get a Celtics versus Marcus Smart finals?
I mean, I wouldn't rule them out. 2 years ago, they were a 51-win team in second in the Western Conference, but last year they set NBA records for the amount of injuries they had. Yeah. So that's a legit team, and I think a team that people aren't really considering out West, because obviously the Nuggets have the best player in the world in Nikola Jokic, and then you got the Thunder, who that young team really kind of up and coming, and they remind me a little bit of like 2022 Celtics, a team that's young. Really, now it's their time to get in, and if the Celtics are to see them, I can kind of see it going a similar way where the Celtics have been there and done that. OKC hasn't. So Memphis is absolutely a team to watch out West. I think they have a good collection of athleticism and size and length. Guys taking another step. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. has been incredible.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ja Morant's a superstar when he's on the court. So that's definitely a team that people should have on their radar.
All right. Check out his work at WEEIN on Twitter, at Justin M. Turpin. Celtics Wednesdays, every Wednesday with Turp. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Turp, thanks for popping in. Get ready. Stretch out those hammies.
Start stretching
some puzzles. Stretch out the brain. Stretch out the hammies for a little show outing after the program tonight. And let's get back into the Red Sox doing, nothing in free agency. That's next.